here.
Well, it's certainly a joy to be here tonight. I appreciate this privilege. Last year, this time, we were out in the parking lot and then had to move in here with just a few people. Been a tough time, hadn't it? But thank God that God's people are resilient. And amen. This past year, I really believe, has shown us a lot about ourselves. And I appreciate your pastor, and we certainly have been praying for him when we found out he was sick. And our men gathered at the Rock Altar, and we prayed for him. Many preachers that's been through this as well, preacher friends of mine that's been in the hospital on ventilators, and just it's been a tough time for a lot of folks. And most of us pastors just been trying to stand in between two crowds. One crowd that's scared to death of everything. The other crowd thinks ain't nothing to it. And we're somewhere in the middle here trying to show them reality and that, praise God. But anyway, I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate it. I told him, I said, there's not been any right answers or wrong answers in how churches have addressed this. Every congregation's different. Every location's different. And every preacher's done the best they know how to do to lead us through it. And so I appreciate him. I appreciate the privilege to be here tonight. And this youngin' over here asked me if I'd sing a song tonight. And she said, are you going to sing tonight? And I said, well, I hadn't planned on it. And but I'm going to for her, since she asked me to sing one. I told her, I said, my solo ministry is not really taking off like I thought it would. Because I'm a little short in the talent area, but the Lord has blessed me to write a few songs down through the years. And the Lord gave me a song back, well, it's at first of last year, I guess. And I actually several songs last year through all this crazy mess. And but I was reading one day an old writer of days gone by. And he said, when the enemy wants to touch a person's life, the first thing he wants to touch is their song. In other words, if the enemy can take your praise away from you, then he has the upper hand in getting victory over your Christian life. It's our praise that God wants us to praise him. And at that moment in time, I felt like the devil had taken my song. I'd been going through some battles, some struggles, and I was out in my place of prayer, and honestly, I said, Lord, is there another song in here? I sat there that day, and the tears streamed down my face, and I said, God, I don't know if there's another one in there or not, but it seems like the devil's took the one I've got. As I sat there and prayed, all of a sudden, these words started coming. I wrote them down on a piece of paper. And I'm going to do my best to sing it for you tonight. Title of the song is, I Have a Song. The enemy had brought me low, and from this place, where would I go? My heart was pained, my joy all gone. Then out of heaven, God gave a song. The battlefield leaves many scars. This gospel way is sometimes hard. But this old world is not our home.
we'll soon see Jesus, and we'll sing our song. I have a song, my voice I'll raise, and utter Christ with all my praise. I have a hope, my sins are gone, I'm not defeated, I have a song. Darkness of days surround us here, holding faith while fighting fear. But I hear the sound of heaven's throng. Their voice is raising a victory song. I have a song, my voice I'll raise, and honor Christ with all my praise. I have a hope, my sins are gone, I'm not defeated, I have a song. I'm not defeated, I have a song. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that God put one in there. And even though it seems like the devil's taking it, just when you need it, it'll come to the surface. Amen. I appreciate the Lord tonight. Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. And I want to read a couple of verses there, and then I'm going to read one verse in Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter number 4. And I want to read verse 26 and verse 27. Here in the book of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, you find in this chapter here that God is calling His people according to His promises in this book, and He's calling Judah to repentance here in this chapter. You see the lamentations of Jeremiah for Judah in these writings. I could imagine the weeping prophet with tears in his eyes when he writes these words. Verse number 26, he said, I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. And all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by His fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. I want to focus on verse 26, and I want to read one verse from Isaiah. I'll read that verse 26 again. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. I want you to notice that. Isaiah, talking about that future coming kingdom, in Isaiah 32, verse 15, he says this, until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word. I pray that You'd help me tonight, enable me, God. I can't preach without the aid of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, I pray You know what we need greater than I do, and Father, I pray, would You help us all tonight that we might find our place in the message. And may You encourage Your people. Father, we are in difficult days here. And Lord, many have been battered and beaten through these days. But Lord, I pray that in these few days of meeting, may You refresh Your people. May You revive us. God, may we rejoice in Your goodness once again. And God, I pray, would You help us, Lord. There's areas of our life that we need Your attention. God, I pray, would You help us these days of meeting. God, would you do a work that only you can do? And Father, we're going to give you praise for what you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I was struck by the phrase in Jeremiah, and I could almost see the weeping prophet as he says this in verse 26. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. And Jeremiah's looking over a place, and just the very statement that he makes, he's reminded that this was known as a fruitful place, but now it has become a wilderness. I thought about, when you think in those that idea, I call it the law of the encroaching wilderness. The wilderness does not stop. Anybody that's got a little place, if you got a little farm, you understand how much work it takes to keep it like it needs to be. Because the wilderness does not stop when the sun goes down. The wilderness does, it is continually trying to encroach upon the fruitful place. And it takes much work, and it takes much planning and much effort in order to keep that wilderness at bay in not only in our lives, but in our churches. And I began to think about that. And I hear, as I'm reading this, Jeremiah makes the statement. He said, I looked and I beheld, and the fruitful place was a wilderness. It's a statement of remembrance. He's looking at a place that he calls it the fruitful place, but now it's much different than it used to be. You don't have to travel to too many churches in our day to find that very thing, that places that one time had the bounty and the blessings of God and were busy, and now it seems like the wilderness has come in, and the wilderness has overgrown. And we're in a decayed state today in many places. I thought about, when you think about, he's remembering how it used to be. Now, I'm not one of those. I'm not a fan of everybody that always wants to talk about how it used to be. I can't do nothing about how it used to be. I'm here in the now and now. Tell me how we can get it like it needs to be in this generation. Amen. Oh yes, I thought about that. When you think about it, it is a statement of remembrance. It is a statement, no doubt, in his mind of regret. He wishes that God's people had not chosen the route that they did. And now he's calling them to repentance. He's looking at a place. He said, I remember when that was fruitful. I remember when it had blessings on it. I remember when everything was well. And now when I look at it, it's nothing but a wilderness. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it don't take long for your life to get like that. I don't care how many you say, but preacher, I've had the blessings of God on my life. I understand that, but it don't take long for the weeds of sin and the wilderness of this world to encroach upon that very thing that you've had all of your life. Amen. It's not in these days, I'm finding out, it's not how you, as much how you started, but how you gonna finish. Amen. The statement of regret, and really it's a statement of reality. He calls it the fruitful place, but then he gets real. He says, it's not a fruitful place now. It's a wilderness. Sometimes I wonder if we had to put on our church signs what the real truth was. Among our people, we'd probably leave the sign empty. Because many times I fear, and you see, it's not just a church thing. This is an individual thing. I begin to think about that idea. I'm preaching on this subject, on the danger of losing ground or the encroaching wilderness. I fear that in these days that we've been in, I travel. I'm starting to get back now. Meetings are coming back. I'm going back to places that I normally go to. And what I'm finding there is, and I'm thankful for you folks that are here tonight, and I'm thankful for the folks that's come back, but I'm finding we have lost some ground in the year 2020 and 2021. Now, I know that's not the fault of the people that's in the services now. That's not the fault of the pastor. It's just the fact of the matter is sometimes idleness allows the wilderness to encroach. I promise you this, if you were right now in this time of year, go 3 weeks without mowing your yard and come back and check in with me and tell me how the wilderness is helping you. You see, in order to keep it looking like you want it to, it's a constant battle. It's a constant struggle. It's a constant planning to make sure you keep it beat back in your life, in the natural realm. Well, in the spiritual realm, it's the same way. If you're going to keep what God's given you like it needs to be, I understand He's the one that's keeping our soul. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you something right now. He has not absolved us a personal responsibility of making sure. He said, keep yourselves in the love of God. There's some things God told us to do. Hallelujah to His name. Idleness has caused many the wilderness. The weeds have took their spiritual life. I thought about sometimes good intentions cause the wilderness to take over. When I was a boy growing up, my daddy had a little farm, and there were some neighbors right across the hill from us, and most of them never went to church on my whole life, couldn't get them to go to church. They'd be neighborly to you, but they didn't, about the things of God, there wasn't much about that. But every year, back in them days, everybody in the mountains, my daddy had a little old farm, and he had a little old tobacco crop. He'd raise tobacco. Now don't frown on me because I've worked in tobacco growing up as a boy. There's been a lot of tithing off them backer checks that's kept mountain churches open for years. So don't get too upset. We wasn't making liquor. We was just growing backer. Amen. 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 Ain't nobody ever got drunk smoking a cigarette, go down the road and run over somebody. So we wasn't making liquor, praise God. We was growing tobacco. But my daddy had raised that crop, and the folks across the hill, I remember they would do this on a regular basis. They'd plow a field, they'd set out a patch of tobacco, and then they'd never go back to it. Y'all, apparently there must be some folks, you've seen folks do stuff like, I don't know why, we would be mystified. Why did they go to the trouble of setting a patch of tobacco out and not even go back? And eventually the weeds were taller than the tobacco was. I said, well, are they doing it for insurance? What are they doing it for? I don't know. I still to this day don't know why. But they did not take care of what they had set out. I'm going to tell you something right now. God's given you something in your life. He's blessed you with a good home. He's blessed you with a family. He's blessed you with children. He's blessed you with a good church. You have a responsibility to do your part to make sure that the wilderness weeds don't encroach upon those places and that it still says that bountiful hallelujah and blessed of the Lord. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? When you think about this, idleness causes the wilderness to gain ground. Sometimes good intentions, and then it's an invasion, really. You can mow that little spot off. You think, this is it right here. I ain't worried about that out there. This is what I'm worried about. But out there, don't stay out there. It's all time creeping in. It's all time edging in just a little bit. Amen. Am I right? I believe I'm right on this. Amen. Can I say to you, if there's ever been a day that we need to understand, there's a danger in losing ground in these days. By the grace of God, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to keep those things in my life. I realize, I told one of the ladies, I said, I am a dinosaur. What do you mean by that, preacher? I don't fit in this modern culture. And I'm talking about church culture. I don't fit. I'm just an old-fashioned Holy Ghost preacher. Just believe old-fashioned
And that don't fit with this modern way of thinking. I'm going to tell you something right there. It fits well with heaven's way of thinking, though. Hallelujah to His name. I don't know about you. I've come too far to turn back now. Amen. I'm going to tell you one thing right now. If anything, I'm going to get my weed whacker out and I'm going to cut them off every chance I get. I'm going to say, by the grace of God, I may not have a big patch. I may not have something that anybody else wants, but by the grace of God, I'm going to do my best to keep the wilderness from taking it. Amen. You say, preacher, what can I do to keep from losing ground? I'll give you these three things and I'm done. Number one, if you want to keep from losing ground, you need to survey the territory. Over there in my house in Mountain City, I've got a big yard and a plot of land there. If you go to the courthouse or wherever they keep the deeds and you pull up that record, they'll show you somebody at some point in time got a survey crew out there, and they said, okay, his line goes from this tree to that rock and to this to that. And they drew a plot out that my place sits on. And inside those lines, I'm responsible for everything inside of those lines. Let me tell you something right now. What every one of you need to do tonight is survey what God has given you. I'm seeing this, and I mean, need to survey what God has deeded you, what God has blessed you with. Survey your home. Survey your children. Survey your church. You ought to survey it. I said, you know what? Everything inside that line, I'm responsible for taking care of it. So far, I haven't been over here this year, Brother Darren, even though you've been sick, I haven't come and mowed your yard, have I? You know why? It ain't my yard. It's not. I mean, and I figured you've been sick, there's some folks seeing about you and everything like that. But let me tell you something right now. Matter of fact, my yard was getting up a little the other day. My son-in-law, he mows it for us and helps take care of it. And it got up a little high, the rain coming and everything. And I was waiting on some of the neighbors just saying, man, you're making us look bad. We're going to come mow your yard for you, praise God. But that didn't happen. You see, you know why? Because it's not their yard. I'm going to tell you something. Individual responsibility is a thing that's been lost in our nation. Not only in our nation, but in our churches. Everybody said, well, the preacher will keep my little plot like it needs to be. The preacher will do this. Oh, the preacher will do enough praying to cover my needs. Oh, the deacons will do this. And somebody else will do that. No, it's your responsibility to stay where you need to stay with God. See, I surveyed it a long time ago and I saw what God had given me. And I've not always kept it like I need to, Brother Darren. I wish there's a lot of time I wish I'd done a little bit better job. Boy, I'm going to tell you something right now. I've done my best to keep the weeds beat back. Amen. I'm talking about all you need to survey the territory. Number two, if you want to keep the wilderness at bay, you need to stake a claim. What do you mean, preacher? What is your spiritual identity? You ever thought about that? Everybody's saved here. You ought to be thinking, what's my spiritual identity? What am I identified by as a Christian? I can name people right now. If I call their names among people that know over there at the church, I call their names and say, boy, this sure was a prayer warrior. That was their spiritual identity. You know how that happened? It didn't happen one day. I didn't go down and decree, you are a prayer warrior, and give them a badge. Kind of like on the Wizard of Oz when they gave that there, that cowardly lion, that badge. And, you know, he had courage, and he didn't have a lick of courage. He scared to death of the wicked witch. Amen. I mean, and gave that scarecrow a brain. He needed a brain. He didn't have a brain. He's like most Baptists I know. He's afraid he's going to get on fire. Amen. And the tin man, he had rusted. He hadn't moved in so long. And they had to oil him up every service when he come to church just to get an amen out of him. But a spiritual identity is carved out when you desire that God give you one. You may not be known as a prayer warrior, but everybody can pray. You know how you become a prayer warrior? Just keep praying. Like Adam and them sang that, just keep praying. You may be one that, they say, I've got a lady in my church right now. She's one of the quietest people in our church. I have never in all the years, I've been now in my 29th year at Dyson Grove Baptist Church, this lady has never given me one iota of problem. She has never, I mean, she's been one of the most faithful members of Dyson Grove Baptist Church probably for the last 40 years. I'd just about say she's taught Sunday school that long in Dyson Grove Baptist Church. But one of the most quiet and unassuming members we've got. You'll never hear anything out of her. Just as polite and kind as she can be. She's in the hospital right now in Vanderbilt taking chemo treatments. Got to leukemia. And Miss Beatrice Allen, I told him, I said, man, I get choked up every time I think about it. I've never seen her take laps around the church. I've never heard her shout out loud, and I'm all for all that. Not everybody's wired like that. But I'll tell you what I have watched. She carved out an identity. She said, I'm going to be that Sunday school teacher that's faithful, regular, back my preacher, back the church, and bless little old youngins coming through my class for 40 years. Amen. That's what my identity is going to be. I got news for you, every one of you. There's a place and time God wants to, hey, I think Adam, y'all sing, that singing thing, that's your identity. You don't even know it. You didn't think about that when you started singing. You just started singing because you wanted to sing and enjoyed it. But that becomes your identity. Thank God for it. Don't let the weeds get it. Don't let the wilderness encroach on it. And I realize time changes a lot of things. My family used to travel with me all the time. They got their own families now. But you know what? The identity is still there. We may not sing every week, but we can sing at any moment. We can sing at any moment, praise God. Because that's, I remember when I grew up in that little holler, I grew up there, Brother David knows, a little dry run over there. I used to know everybody lived through there. Them little farms on both sides of the road, some of the most well-kept little farms. You know why? Because them people cared about them farms. Those people had a work ethic. They cared about what they'd been given. They took care of it. This later generation, they come in, you can't tell anybody cares about anything. Amen. That's why I'm saying, young people, you need to listen to me. Some of them saints of God that's been down the road, they have carved an identity. They've been the bedrock of these local churches. They've carried the load. They kept the lights on. They've done whatever needed to be done to make sure that the message of God is going forth. But there's a generation coming on that needs to step up and say, you know what? I want to have that identity. I want God to use me like that. Hallelujah to His name. I was preaching over there about Ezra yesterday where he was helping reinstitute the temple services. And he was in heaviness. The Bible, he said, when he found out that they'd intermingle with those other nations, and he was grieved, and the Bible said he rose up from his heaviness. And he said, he began to pray, he said, oh God, I'm ashamed and I blush. Boy, if we could get back the ability to blush about sin in our churches, it sure help us all. But here's what he come on down there and said, and he said, but you've given us a space of grace. And this is what I like. He said, a nail in His holy place. Amen. If there's ever a day this younger generation needs to get some things nailed down, they need to get them nailed down now in the house of God. Hallelujah to His name. I look up, you say, well, preacher, you're old and I've got a lot of young things to do in my life. I wasn't always old. And I've got evidence to prove it. All you got to do is look at that picture there rolling up on the screen of me coming over here to preach. That was took probably 15 years ago. May have been 20 years ago. And I don't look like that now. Matter of fact, the man that took that picture is in heaven. He passed away with cancer. A good man, good photographer. He always took good pictures. And that picture, I ain't always been old. You ain't always going to be young. That's why you ought to find your niche now. Get in it and do what God wants you to do. Amen. Hallelujah. God, you say, but I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. You just keep asking Him and He'll show you. Amen. You think God's going to leave you blindly floundering around in your spiritual life and never give you direction in your life? No! That's the problem. Most people don't want to ask Him because they're afraid He will give them direction. Stake a claim. Them little farms, I could identify them by this name and that name, and I could say they were identified by them. I want to be identified. Preacher Fletcher loved God. He loved old-fashioned worship. He loved good singing. He loved God's people. You don't know how it blessed my soul to come in here this evening and talk to folks before the service. It just kind of charged me up, preacher. Now, I know some preachers, not everybody's wired the same. I've got some preacher friends. They'll come in 10 minutes after the service starts if they're preaching because they don't want to talk to nobody before the service. But I always made it a point. I think I was the third car here tonight. I get here early because a lot of times you can find out what you need to preach on just talking to people. If you can't get a clear thought from the Lord, just get there early and you'll get direction from God. Amen. You're going to have to survey the territory. You have to stake a claim. And then if you're going to keep the wilderness beat back, how many of you young fellas in here, you mow yards? And how many mows the yard? Either your yard or somebody else's yard. A lot of us. Several of them. It's work, ain't it? It's work. Especially when you live in the mountains. I mean, every one of us got one leg longer than the other. We grew up standing on the side of a hill. I've lived on a hill my whole life. And when you mow in the mountains, you got to mow a mountain. My folks, we was always poor. We didn't have no riding mower. I was the mower. And we didn't have no self-propel mower either. Amen. Just praise God. I told him the other day, this gas deal. I remember my daddy, he'd leave for work and he'd say, now boy, he said, the siphon hose is in the building down there. Go siphon some gas out of the car and mow the yard while I'm gone today. I said, who knew that one of the perks of getting old would be that you still know how to siphon gas? They can run out the gas station all they want to. We got ways. We got ways. Somebody said that siphon hose is a redneck credit card. Hey, man, I don't know. I don't know. But can I say to you, stake a claim. Fly the flag. So this is what my family, we're going to be known for those that were faithful. We're going to be known for those who love God's men. We're going to be known for loving to see sinners saved. Hallelujah to His name. Stake a claim. And then finally, if you don't want to lose ground, you're going to have to stand your ground. There's a lot of things that's encroaching upon us in these days. And none of us want to have to face them. But they're coming. And the challenge is to stand our ground in love.
stand our ground with compassion. Stand our ground and with a burden for people. This lost world's looking for people that are real, who love the Lord and actually love them too. Sometimes I fear our churches don't come across much like we love lost people. They don't look like us, and they don't have any clue about what we are and what we do. And sometimes we're not drawn to those type of people. We want to get people saved who look just like us, who already got a Bible under their arm, who already got a suit and tie on. But there ain't many of them people in these modern days that we live in. Matter of fact, more times than not, they're not going to look anything close to that in these days. But that Jesus loves them, and they have a soul. Hallelujah to His name. Don't matter what color their skin is, what culture they come from. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Lord will save anybody that'll come to Him. Amen. Yesterday morning at the church, we have a family in our church that had taken in a young lady. She appears to be about 19, maybe 20 years old, and she's had a rough life from what I understand, a bad family situation, just a quiet young lady. And this lady in my church contacted me late on Saturday night, and I didn't see it till Sunday morning. She said, "Is there any way you could meet us at the church?" And the girl's name is Aki. She appears to be of Asian descent. I'm not sure about that, but this girl is, they're keeping this young lady, trying to help her. And I said, "Sure." And I said, "I can meet her after church, or I can before church." I said, if before 9:30, it'd be fine. She said, "We'll see you at 9:30. So I got there, and that young, and they brought her in, and I sat down in my office, and the lady in my church sat down with me, and I said, "What's going on? What's wrong? What do you need?" And I watched this young lady sit there, tears in her eyes, and she said, "I've just been thinking a lot lately, and I just need God in my life. I need something in my life. I can't." And I asked her, I said, "Young'un," I said, "where are you from?" She said, "Everywhere." She said, "I've been everywhere." And I could see by that answer, she's had no stability in her young life. And I looked at her and I smiled. I said, "So that means now you're from East Tennessee.
Amen.
You're from somewhere now."
Yeah.
And I sat there and I began to open up in the book of Romans, telling about what the Lord did and about how we were sinners. And she just sat and she just shook her head, yes, and cried. And I said, "Well, you know, it didn't stop there. Come over here." And he said this. He said, "To the Jew or Greek," I said, "that means don't matter what color your skin is. Don't matter what culture you come from. Amen." But she sat there in a big old smile. And I got to talking about how that the Lord would give us His righteousness. I said, "We can't be good enough to go to heaven. Ain't none of us in our flesh good enough to go to heaven. But if you'll trust Him, He'll give you His righteousness." And that youngin, we prayed there. And she got tears. And I said, "Aki," I said, "now the Bible says if you get saved, you won't be ashamed of it." I said, "I'm going to tell the church about this." She said, "Oh, yes." And I said, "All right, I'm going to do it at 11 o'clock. And I said, because, and this is another thing, girl, bad family situation. I said, because they need to know they've got a new sister in the family. And when I said that, her eyes got so wide. I said, "Aki, you don't even realize it. You became a part of a family today. There's brothers and sisters. Everywhere you go, you're going to find some of your brothers and sisters in Christ." Amen. When you ain't had much family in this world, and when you don't even know where you're from, amen, I'm glad there's a God that'll put you in a family and let you know where you're going. Amen. Hallelujah to His name. Just stand your ground. Do it in love.
Everybody else has gone the other direction, thrown in the towel, given up on everything they've ever been taught. You just stand right where you're at, because one of these days there's going to be a herd of them coming back your way, looking for what they used to know. The danger of losing ground. Father, I thank you for what you've done for us tonight, how you've helped us. Oh Lord, God, would you help these folks tonight, Lord, these young people, Lord, the older folks as well. Help us all, God, that we would not allow the wilderness, not allow what the enemy would bring to encroach upon us, to take away the blessing and the bounty and the beauty of God in our life. And Father, would you help us to be diligent in maintaining what you have given us. God, may we be diligent. May we be fervent. And Lord, helping our church, helping our preacher. Lord, staying where you'd have us to stay. God, I pray, would you help us all to survey the territory? God, would you help us all, Lord, just to take a stand? Lord, I pray, would you help us do that that's needed in every heart? And if there's one here tonight that's unsaved, God,